Welcome to the Inside Songwriting Podcast. This is where songwriters find inspiration every time. Good evening, friends. This is Carl Brody here, the Inside Songwriting Podcast. Tonight I'm not speaking to you from the clifftops of Sydney. I'm actually speaking very quietly. I don't have to. It just feels nice and quiet and intimate. I'm at the Dag Sheep Station in Nundle, New South Wales, Australia. So I'm in the countryside around. I should know this because spend a lot of time here. I think around 45 kilometres or 50 kilometres from Tamworth, New South Wales, which is the country music capital of Australia. Yeah, those of you who are regular listeners to the podcast know that I spend a lot of time in Tamworth and in Nundle itself, here at the Dag Sheep Station. It's a peculiar thing to hear regularly that I come to a sheep station, but it's an old converted sheep station, and there are several types of accommodation here, and I come here and either I'm working at the retreat, the songwriter's retreat, as a tutor, a mentor, doing workshops and so on, or I come here and record. So I set up a mobile recording studio. I'd love to take photographs. I'm going to hopefully share a little bit of how this looks, because I know that I talk about it and it's kind of like, well, be nice to show you a bit of a vibe. So I come here and make albums as well. I'm here this time in the middle of producing an album with Hayley Wilson. So today we've been working on vocals. By the way, I don't know if you can hear in the background there. I often find that when I'm away on my own and I've got a glass of red wine, I like to listen to Bon Iver late at night, and I listen to one track, and it's a song called Stacks from his album For Emma Forever Ago, which I think is a masterpiece. So yeah, there's something about the mood of this song, the tone and the way it was recorded, that I just sink into, and I don't know many other songs where I can listen to them endlessly like this. There's something about the recording that just pleases me and soothes my soul. So yeah, I'm having a chat with you. It's just after 10 o'clock at night. I've finished a day's recording. I might sound a bit tired. I'm sure that's okay for you if I sound a little bit human sometimes. I've been recording all day. We managed to do two lead vocals, and we managed to get a couple of guides down as well for Hayley's album. So I'm pretty happy with what we churned out today, and I think we're halfway through the record, really, which is good. You know, I'm in the middle of a few projects, and I've got a trip to the UK coming up in 2 weeks' time. I'm going to be in England and Scotland, as you know, my homeland, very soon. And then I come back, and I've got a lot of shows leading up to the end of the year. And then that'll be October, November, December. And gets to January, and it gets even crazier because I've been appointed as a group leader at the Country Music Academy again for 2016, which is really exciting. And it means that I get to live the life of someone who's passionate about songwriting some more, even into the new year, which I'm really grateful for. And of course, right after the Academy is the Country Music Festival, and so far I have 3 or 4 shows for that week, which is at the end of January. So my foreseeable future for the next 4 or 5 months, at the very least, is all music and all songs. And I really, really wish the same for you on whatever level you'd like that to be. Now, what I want to talk about today is, this evening, is firstly, a I'm hoping you're okay with me having a couple of wines while I talk. I guess it's never really been my intention to sit down and chat to you when I'm having a couple of wines, but I'm in a good mood, and I don't think that I'm going to be slurring nearly as much as that brilliant man, Tim Ferriss, on his podcast, where he sort of even makes a point of making sure that during the interviews at some point, he doesn't hide the fact that he's had a few wines, but he manages to remain articulate and brilliant throughout. And he might slur his words here and there, but I tell you what, he asks some brilliant questions, even though he's probably nailed a bottle of wine by that point. I don't intend to cane a whole bottle of wine, but I am quite happy to be recording another podcast for you because times are getting busy with my trip coming up. And I want to make sure, my trip to Scotland, that is, I want to make sure that I record as usual, because I'm in a bit of a flow right now with making more podcasts. So the thing I wanted to talk about today was to do with, I guess, not necessarily feeling worthy, but raising your game. So it's a bit of both, really. A bit of imposter syndrome, a bit of whether or not you feel like you are where you should be, and a bit of what happens to us when we surround ourselves with the kind of greatness we want to be around, or even this a certain level of accomplishment that we aspire to ourselves. And also the converse, which would be spending time with those who are maybe not quite at the level we're at or the stage we're at in our progress, in our journey with our craft and how it affects us. So one of the things I learned early on in life, mostly because of my big brother, actually, my big brother Ollie, who lives in Thailand, he's been a great influence on me for lots of reasons. And it's funny how you look back and you learn from some of the experiences you've had in the past that you never thought would be influential on your life later down the line. And one of the things that Ollie's done for me is he taught me about raising my game. And it might sound kind of ridiculous, but, you know, here's the deal. So he's a brilliant golfer. And back in the day, back in London, when we lived in London together, he was playing off of 5, I think, which is like 5 handicap, maybe 6 or 7, I can't remember. I think he was down there anyways, like around 4, 5, 6, 7. So for those of you who don't know, that would mean, for example, if a course was par 72, that means Ollie could get around it in 77 shots, which means he's 5 over, which is quite a formidable score by anyone's measure, considering golf is such a particular game where you need to get every tiny detail of your art right before you can actually learn the game. And then you have to forget everything you've learned and get into a flow state and just send that ball down the fairway. So I was never, I used to play a lot. I used to play 3 times a week. My brother's influence meant that I played 3 times a week. And oftentimes he would be the one waking me up at 4 or 5 in the morning and shouting in my head. He would wake us up really early and say, come on, we've got to go and get a ball and shoot. We've got to go get a ball and shoot. And that means that, you know, you get there early, you put your golf ball in a chute. And when your ball gets to the bottom of the chute, that means it's your turn to tee off. And I remember waking up at 5 a.m. and saying to him, it's you that's the golfer, not me. I'm playing music, you know, I'm the bass guitarist here, or whatever it was I was doing at the time. His passion was golf and many other things. Mine was music. But somehow he managed to persuade me to get out on that golf course with him, rain or shine, no matter what time of day. And we would head up there and, you know, on the way there it'd be dark and we'd see badgers lining the streets. And it was always good times. The early morning golf sessions I had with my brother forever stay with me. It's something I don't regret, getting up that early to go and do something like that. Now, those of you who follow, you know, a lot of a sort of maybe a more, I don't know, Zen meditation and so on, you would have heard references to the game of golf during that research and to, you know, I remember reading years ago, I think it was called, it wasn't Zen in the Art of Golf, but it was something like the inner game of golf and the inner game of tennis. And at the same time, I was reading things like Zen in the Art of Archery and a book that changed my life, Zen in the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance. But one of the things I learned back then, I know that was a bit of a roundabout way of telling you, one of the things I learned back then was, if I was playing with my brother, who was really good, my golf game, which wasn't very good, it usually got a lot better just from being on the same golf course as him. Never mind trying to keep up with him hole by hole. So I was raising my game, and I don't know, I still don't know to this day how that happens, but I know it does happen. When you're in that company and when the bar is raised, somehow we rise to meet it. And golf is a great example of that, because for some reason we just don't hack away and hit as many bad shots as we ordinarily would if we've got these players around us that are showing us where we'd actually like to be. So all of a sudden, as Gandhi said, we become the change that we want to see. That might be a bit grand for this conversation, but anyway, I think it's relevant. And so I've noticed this happening with a lot of things in my life since then. And in particular, that was an eye-opener for me, because then I knew that if I was, say I was invited out for a game of golf with a few friends, and it wasn't necessarily friends that were brilliant or any good at golf even, I knew that my game wouldn't be as good as it I was now aware it could be. So it's really interesting, because if I was going out with great players, I would play really well or better than usual. If I was going out with players that were around my standard, I would play to my standard. And if I was going out on the course with players who weren't as good as me, I wouldn't necessarily have a great game either. Now, I might play well, I might play better than them, and they might then raise their game. But because they weren't necessarily at my standards by then, which wasn't very good, my game definitely wasn't raised by then. So I learned that early on. And then that started to translate into my passion and the things that I loved golf, but it was never my passion. Never, it was never the thing I really wanted to do with my life. And then, you know, something happened recently which has brought my mind back to thinking about that stuff. And that was, you know, the last few years, my boys, I've got two boys, teenage boys. Well, my youngest boy's 12, not quite a teenager, but he is in a basketball team and he's tall enough to be a teenager. And, you know, I'm a bit older than them, my sons, which is kind of normal for me to be older than my kids. And I've been watching them play basketball. I've been going to the games. I've been listening to the coaches. I've been watching what they do. And I've been trying to help them with their training and with their practice. And I go and hang out with them on the courts. And I've been getting fit myself. In the last couple of years, I've pushed rock and roll aside a little more each year and changed my diet, got a bit more stamina and endurance and fitness and flexibility and so on. Because I can't help myself. When I say I changed my diet, I will let you know that I chose a plant-based diet and I'm now a vegan. It actually helped with my fitness, but I'm not going to talk about that right now. I'm just going to take a drink of wine, because it's grapes and grapes are good for you. So last week I found myself at the basketball courts with my two boys. One's 12, one's 15. And to start with, I was, you know, passing them the ball, and then they were taking shots and then passing it back to me. And then we did that for about maybe 10, 15 minutes. And then these guys came along, looked a bit older than my boys. And it turns out, yeah, they were like 18, 17, 18. And they challenged us to a game. But we had a friend with us as well. So there was three, and then there was me, and then there was these two guys. And they asked us if we want to play. And I said, nah, not me, man. I'm crap. I'll just watch. And one of the guys from the other team said, no, you got to play. It would be great. We'll play 3-on-3. And I was like, seriously? I come here to watch. And he goes, nah, come on, that'd be great. You come on our team. And it was actually Father's Day. So I was hanging out with my boys, loving it. And so I found myself playing 3-on-3 basketball with these incredible players, teenagers. And we played for about an hour. And I surprised myself for every step of the way. I even got three baskets. My dribbling skills were awful. I had the right idea. Excuse me. I had the right idea, but my dribbling skills were awful. So I kind of knew, my body knew, and I knew what I wanted to do, but it didn't quite work out that way. But nonetheless, I was proud of myself, and I kept up, and my boys were proud of me, and they had the best time, and I raised my game. I managed to take myself out of the mindset whereby I doubted myself and didn't want to do it, to actually having one of the best days I've had in a very long time. And I even scored three baskets, which was pretty cool when you consider all these kids were 20 years at least younger than me. So that was pretty cool. I raised my game because I was there and because they were good and because I had to. Otherwise, I would have maybe embarrassed my boys. I don't know. Whatever the reasons, I stepped up and I managed to raise my game and have a good time. Okay. So there was golf when I was younger. Definitely shone a light on the fact that we can far exceed our own expectations of ourselves if we're in the right environment and the right situation at the right time and for the right duration. Because I certainly don't think I could have played for much longer than an hour last week on the basketball courts. The reason I want to talk to you about it tonight is because I'm recording this album as a producer. I've co-written half of it, virtually anyway. I think there's 10 songs. I think I've co-written 7 of them or around that mark. So Hayley Wilson, who I'm working with, has brought a few of her own songs and one co-write with someone else. Actually, one co-write with Luke O'Shea, who's a former guest on this podcast. And it's a great song that we're about to record. I asked Hayley to play me couple of the other songs. I knew one of them, and one of them I didn't know so well, but I was really happy when I heard it again tonight, earlier on today, because I realized that, and I know when she wrote it because I remember her running it by me at the time for a little listen and to see if there was any suggestions I could offer, but I definitely didn't have an input in the songwriting apart from steering it in a direction halfway through without, you know, creating any of the parts, just sort of making a couple of suggestions of what to do next or which parts I thought should definitely stay or go. Anyway, I realized that this was an artist who would never have had the confidence 1 year before when we started co-writing to be writing her own song from scratch with the confidence to know that she has it within her to be a person that writes great songs. And I believe that the last 12 months of being disciplined and devoted to her craft, writing songs with other people who are maybe a bit more established or more confident within themselves. The actual process of deciding to make an album at some point in the near future, committing to that and then working on your craft, I believe that has enabled her to raise her game. Because I listened to the song that I didn't know too well, that I sort of had heard at a halfway stage, and I was really proud of her, and I was really happy that it was going to be on the record that I was producing, and I was really, really impressed with the craft, the way the song has been put together, all its strengths, all the melodies, the structure, the dynamics. I love hearing songs that stand up on their own before there's any production involved, because that means that they could probably stand up in not only in many different genres, but in various different choices with production, because there's never one way to serve the song the best. My job as a producer is to serve the song, serve the artist and the song. So I believe that that dedication and that devotion to Hayley's art has led to her raising her game in that sense. And I think that if not now, then I'll never get the message that it's actually really important to spend time amongst those who you would like to be like, to spend time believing that you can be the change that you want to see in yourself, become that change. I'm not being, I don't think I'm being over grand with that. You know, be the change you want to see in the world. I truly believe in it. Now, I heard something recently. It was some advice on this stuff, and it was to do with, I think it was the law of 33 or the law of thirds, something like that. Anyway, in short, basically this advice was that we should break it up into thirds or 33.333%. So if I wanted to be a better songwriter, I would spend time, the third of my time with people who I feel are where I would like to be as a songwriter, a third of the time with people who I feel are on my level as a songwriter, where we can share and encourage each other and support each other, but we're kind of at the same level. And then a third of the time with those who are not necessarily up to the same standards, or at least, excuse me, at least the same stage in their songwriting journey as I might be right now. So the reason for that would be that so that I could share and help them, and then they could aspire to being at my stage. And then I, with the ones who, the third, who would be the same as me, we can support each other and encourage each other for what's to come next. And the ones whereby I wish I could be at their level, I'm inspired by them, I'm motivated by them, I'm learning from them. They help me raise my game. So I believe in all this stuff. I believe in looking at it like that. I like that breakdown, actually, in the rule of thirds or the law of 33 or however you want to put it. I should probably articulate it a little better. Maybe I'll come up with some way of expressing that in songwriting terms. But I hope that it sort of comes across to you as something that makes sense in on your journey as a songwriter, or as a recording artist, or as a poet, or as a creative person, or as any kind of artist. I know that this podcast is a songwriting podcast, but I do know for a fact that we get listeners. You might be a listener yourself who's not necessarily a songwriter, but you like listening to thoughts on the creative mind. And I'm all for that, because I can be just as inspired by reading the writings of a painter or an inventor or an architect or a poet, and use that, even an entrepreneur, I use that creativity and translate it, reinterpret it and repurpose it for my journey. And a lot of it does come down to, you know, if you actually have a goal, like just say, for example, there's a level of songwriting or there's a level in someone's career that I would like to one day achieve. It's great to have those goals. And they make you raise your game, especially if you're around it. If I spend my time with those guys, you know, I've been lucky enough to write with some, you know, amazing songwriters who've had number ones in Nashville, you know, multiple number ones in Nashville. And I also get to play live music with people who I aspire to, whose careers I aspire to. I remember when I was on the Patty Griffin tour around Australia, I remember on the first night, even at soundcheck, I remember getting out there and sounding, Patty Griffin sitting there watching me. And thankfully, we just connected. We got on really well straight away, mainly through having a laugh with each other, which just felt really comfortable. But I think that also helped me feel comfortable knowing that I was with a good person. I went out there on stage. Excuse me, I lost my voice there for a second. I went out there on stage and just felt like, not only did I have to raise my game, I knew that what was about to happen was because I was amongst those who I aspire to and who had so much respect for that I didn't have a choice but to step up. It was a really important lesson for me. And I made the most of it because emotionally I remember every moment of every show on that whole tour. And I think that ultimately what I did and what I haven't dropped since then is I raised my game. I raised my game because of the company I kept that I was so fortunate to keep at the time and take my songwriting, my art, and my whole mindset towards what it is I want to do to that next level. So here's my thoughts for you this evening. Raising your game. Who is the... I want to ask you a few things, okay? I just want to leave you with something to think about. You can leave your answers with me by SpeakPipe on the voicemail on the website, or send me an email, carl@insidesongwriting.com. I'm on Twitter, @CarlBrody. And @SongKarl, SNGKARL. Instagram @CarlBrody, Periscope @CarlBrody. It's getting crazy, isn't it, on the list of things. I just have a couple questions for you. So, what do you aspire to as a songwriter? And we can get a bit more specific now if you think of the topic of this podcast. Whose career do you aspire to as a songwriter or a recording artist? You know, who would you like to be like? Maybe it's not even a music person. Maybe it's an author. Maybe you aspire to the heights of a certain author because they sort of represent where you would like to take your art. How can you spend your time with them? And if it's just impossible for you to spend your time with them, how can you spend your time with those who are at that next level from you, who will inspire you and help you to raise your game? And don't forget the importance of those who are at the same level as you, same place on their journey as you, so you guys can encourage each other, even, you know, start a group together where you support each other, or even just having someone to be accountable to for the goals you want to achieve. And that doesn't even mean spending physical time with them, but preferably you would do that because that's what a lot of the great artists have done over the years. They've spent time with each other. And then the importance of you sharing what you know as well with those who are not quite up to your standard or not quite reached the things you've managed to achieve on your journey. And there's definitely a lot to be said for, you know, helping those people to, because you've been there, you've got the experience, you've walked the coals, you've got the scars from walking those coals. You can share that experience and help them get to where you are. And you never know, that could come back to you tenfold. They might then somehow get an opportunity that will enable them to help you down the line. Regardless, this law of 33, rule of thirds way of looking at it is really, really helpful for your mindset. And let's think about that. Let's think about raising our game. Let's, you and I, go forward now and raise our game. Come back to me. I'm going to let you know. I'm going to talk to you about it. I'm going to be saying, this is what I wanted to achieve. This is how it ended up. And I'm going to let you know. But I'm going to be driven by this thought of knowing where I want to be, imagining myself there, and taking on board these three, this law of 33, to try and achieve that. Let me know. Be accountable to me. You know, I might not get back to everyone personally, but I'm more than happy to hear. And I tell you what, if you are letting me know about your goals and keeping me updated, I'll be giving you a mention to support you for sure. Because those are the things in life that give me a real buzz, is hearing about people achieving the things they want to achieve. I know that you can raise your game, and I've just given you a few ways of making sure that that happens. We can do this. So I want to hear about it. I want you to start putting those things in place. Think about them, or even start wondering how you can put those things in place, and then look at what your next step might be. All right? Even write it down. Write down a list. Write down one goal and write down what your next step would be. I'm excited about this, and I'm thankful that you're listening to me. And I'm in a little warmly lit log cabin cottage in the mountains of New South Wales, Australia. I've had a long day recording, but a very productive day. We managed to get a lot done today, and I'm enjoying a wine, talking to you. Now that renders me fortunate. That makes me a lucky man. Thanks for listening. Once again, my name's Carl Brody. I'm speaking to you from the mountains of New South Wales, Australia. And I'm really grateful that you come back to the Inside Songwriting Podcast. I'll speak to you again very soon. Be safe out there. All the best. You've been listening to the Inside Songwriting Podcast. Here's hoping you're going to go and do everything you can to further develop your craft, your skills, and your mind to become a better and more consistent songwriter. I'll keep throwing dust down till I believe what I see. I'll keep throwing dust on, 'cause I think you are alive.